Hi, this is Aslan. It is about 12:30 in the morning on July 3rd, Friday. The year is 2009. I'm just making a quick note here. I'm going to actually do the bulk of this verbal blog later tonight and post it. That I am about to do one of the most difficult things I've ever done, and probably one of the most courageous things I've ever done in my life. To do it, I'm going to have to swallow a bit of pride in the process. And what that is, well, I'll talk about it later. Normally I wouldn't, but I feel that I just need to share this. And since I'm doing it, I need to be open about it, even here on my blog. So, you won't get this. They'll both come at the same time, and I'll edit them together. That way you don't have to listen to one and listen to the other. And hopefully I won't be too tired later, because I have to go out and still do some stuff, so I probably won't be getting to bed until 3 or 4. But I'll probably just get in bed, take my Ambien, and then sit and do this recording for you. So, for now, I hope you enjoy what you've had, and look forward to what I'm going to share with you later. And yeah, this is going to take... I'm doing something big. I'm doing something major. I understand that. It's worth it to me, every little bit. And the risk is definitely worth it to me, even though I sometimes think I'm another idiot, because the downside of that can be pretty severe. But you've got to take leaps in life, and I have never succeeded at something as an adult without taking risks, huge risks sometimes, whether it's been getting a house, getting my first car, reaching out to people, meeting new friends at work, whatever the case. Or, you know, I think the best one was getting a motorcycle. That was a pretty joyful experience that I could have just sat back and done nothing, but I had the courage and met the people and talked to people and talked to people and talked to people and went to stores and sat on motorcycles and took classes and finally just sank into the whole thing, and it was joyful and wonderful, and I hope I can get into it again someday, because I've been having, you know, with the struggles with my fibromyalgia, it's made it difficult to want to get on the motorcycle, but we'll see if we can do some pain management that gets me back going with that. But anyway, I'm going to get off here, and I'll make some more of this recording later when I go to bed. And I wish you well, and hope you're doing great. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Hello, I'm back. Been quite the ride tonight. Interesting night. My body is feeling in a pretty damn good mood. I'm yet to figure out why. I haven't had pain meds for a while. And I am very much awake, almost wide awake, had a few moments of being a little bit tired. So I think it's about 2:30. It's the latest I've stayed up in a long, long time. So what I'm going to do now is I'm walking in my bedroom, and because it's so exciting, I'm going to take an Ambien. It's almost scary. I have all my pill bottles out and different medications, so when I was filling out some paperwork, so I knew which was what, it looks like a whole ton of stuff, but half of it I don't barely ever take for anything, or were trials or things like that. Okay. So down goes that Ambien, the wonder drug. I could probably fall asleep tonight since it is so late. However, I don't want to test myself. I'd rather just get in bed, be tired, fall right to sleep in 5 minutes. There's nothing worse than not being able to do that. Got cats whining. That's the only problem with staying up late. They get all hungry. They can't be patient, wait for me in the morning. Although maybe I should feed them, because give them a little bit, because I'll wake up late and they're going to be going nuts. Alright, my house smells good. I was burning sage earlier. That was wonderful downstairs, even though I need to do some dishes here. I should probably take out the recycling tonight and the garbage, but I just haven't felt like it. I may or may not do that here in a bit. We'll see. Let me put this recorder in my pocket. Unfortunately, it's the pocket with my cell phone, so it starts going... that's the cell phone causing electromagnetic charge in the wire here. So I'm going to go outside, have a smoke, and talk a little bit quieter. So that's one of the reasons I have the volume so sensitive on this, so I can go outside and kind of whisper and I don't bother the neighbors too much. I'm going to turn the light down low too, because I don't know. I don't think I like the light really bright, especially at 2 or 3 in the morning. So, okay, got to whisper. So I know these neighbors, they like to keep their windows open. I don't think they have air conditioning. And wow, you can hear that through this. I think that's my air conditioner outside, the fan making a lot of noise. I don't know why it makes all that noise. So, I told you I was going to tell you what was going on. And it's a really long story, and it starts... I'll move over here. There's more protection for this house. But the story begins about 2.5 years ago. I met a girl, and her name was Ina, on eHarmony.com. And from the get-go, it was probably the most interesting relationship of my life. For one thing, there was no honeymoon phase. I never felt like there was one anyway, which is typical in relationships where you kind of look at the other person and don't... You just see all the good in them, and you don't see the things that annoy you for, you know, 2, 3, 4 months or whatever. And I don't feel we ever had that. We just saw who we were, and we saw what frustrated us with the other person, what we liked and what we didn't like right away. Very unique. And in some ways, I found that extremely refreshing. In other ways, it was frustrating, because I think part of your heart just wants to kind of fall into that. It's a very addictive state to be. And it's hence one reason I think people, I should say some people, a limited group of people, won't stay in relationships for very long, because they're addicted to that feeling. They need to break up and go with the new person. They feel that way, and then when they stop feeling that way, they think, oh, this relationship doesn't work. They go with the new person, then they keep doing that without realizing this is a normal psychological thing, dude. You just gotta accept that. You know, when you're having a long-term relationship, after a while, you get over that childhood kind of fascination with another human being. You start seeing them for who they are. And nobody's perfect. Everybody's got their flaws, and a person's flaws can definitely trigger fears and other things in us. So successful relationships, from what I've seen, work when both partners understand that reality and just trust and believe in each other anyway, and just stick things through. And yeah, I have quite a few, the friends I do have, they're all married, and that's kind of what they're doing. It's a very good role model to look at. I'm very don't know what the word I'm looking for. Anyway, getting back, I met this girl. I fell in love pretty fast, which doesn't surprise me too much. I have a very open heart, and I'm able to look really deep into people very quickly and get a really accurate feeling for who they are. And I can figure out really quickly, within days, whether this is someone that, yeah, I'm ready to give my heart to them or not. And I just do it. I've often been criticized for that. People say you moved up too fast, or this or that, and of course other times in my life when I want a relationship, people say you're closed, and it's kind of very much in the eye of the beholder kind of thing, and in psychology we call it projection. Anyway. So, met her, and we had a tumultuous relationship. We had a lot of good times, and we had a lot of pretty big fights, and some of them were bigger than any fight I've had with anybody in my life. And they were frustrating to me, in part because I used every single skill that I knew psychologically and in communication, and didn't do much work. As the relationship progressed, I started having a lot of PTSD symptoms, in part from that relationship. It was in part from other things going on in my life, too. Which just made the relationship harder, because I knew I needed to go into every situation fresh, new. And if things got tense, I needed to calm down, be patient, breathe, listen, engage. And sometimes I was able to do that, and sometimes I was not. So yeah, it's complicated, and I won't get into it too much. But one thing is, I sincerely love this person, and I've always known that they sincerely love me. But it's been my thought, or my observation, or my feeling, that a lot of these arguments are, they just come about from fear, and I think her fear, whether she admits it or not, my belief is her fear is a fear of commitment. Just a need to always have a door and another option. So committing takes away an option, and that's scary. Or committing to a person, or committing to a job, or committing to a God. And it was hard for me sometimes, but other times I had a lot of compassion for it, because I can commit to something, you know, once I get my mind to it. And it's not so hard, but I couldn't imagine having that sense of not being able to commit to anything. So, about 3 months ago, we broke up. There were a lot of little breakups. Usually she was breaking up with me. In fact, I don't remember every time I broke up with her. And my understanding is usually it was just a fear response. That was her way to feel like she had control. And sometimes I could have compassion for it, and sometimes it was harder. And the thing was, because I didn't have many other friends, when it happened, it was very hard for me, because I would go off on my own, and you know, she would have all these support systems to talk to, and she would be ready to talk to me within an hour or within a day, and you know, a day or two later, I was still rattled, having nightmares, just needing someone to listen to me, hear my point of view. There's a weird sound out here. Sounds like someone banging on a pole. Anyway. What was I saying? I don't know. I was talking about breakups. So yeah, we would mend things. It was hard for me. I wish I had the strength not to take those days off, or I had the support systems. I think it'd be a lot easier for me now, because I've built up some over the last couple months. They're not as strong as I want. They're not exactly, they don't look like I want them to look, obviously, but they're good, and especially my friend Sophie. She's been my lifeline, and if she's listening to this, I want to say thank you, Sophie. I wouldn't be alive today, I don't think, if not for her. There were a couple times where I hit rock bottom. Absolutely rock bottom. And between these traumas that have been going on in my life, and thinking of PTSD and trying to work 8-hour work days and be successful at work, which is, I don't think I've been much lately, and I don't feel much support from management. So, but yeah, I think overall, something like that happened right now, I'd do a lot better. And I'd be more likely to say what my needs are, what my boundaries are, and say, hey, this is what I need, can we do this? And it would be weird. Anyway, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So, every now and then I've kept in touch a little bit. Maybe with a text message on my phone or an email. Not very much. The thing is, I've always wanted to be with her, and I want to marry her. Seriously. That is what I want to do. If she came to my house tomorrow and said yes, I would just say, hey, let's start planning the wedding. I think she was always concerned that planning a wedding stresses out, but I wouldn't have too much problem, because I think the wedding should be about the two people getting together. So what you do is you rent a place, you get clothes, you invite people, and you do it. It doesn't have to be exotic. Not a lot of money needs to be spent, you know. I mean, it depends on what she wants to, but I think simple, with people you love, in a place, preferably outdoors, is really all you need. Because it should be about community, and it should be about community supporting you. But anyway. So, letter here, letter there. I get the genuine feeling that she believes that we gave it all, gave our all, and it didn't work, so we shouldn't even consider getting back together again. And, you know, for couple months I kind of felt that way too, and I was kind of tired and frustrated, because it seemed like every letter I got from her was a Dear John letter format, and just negative, I felt. Well, that's not true. The first one she sent me had a couple pages that were very positive and thoughtful and caring, so I'll admit that. But overall, I felt like all of these letters were just Dear John letters to me, and that was hard. I just kind of felt slammed, because I knew somewhere there, deep down in me, I had one hope left, just one. And it was about us, her and I. And it wasn't a false hope. It wasn't a hope based on bullshit. It was a hope based on who we are, psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually. My understanding of those things, both from observation and going to school, and just a really strong sense that we can get through this, and we can get through this to a point that we really treat each other well, and we really love each other well. I'm absolutely convinced that that can happen. It's just going to take time, and I think part of the reason the breakup happened too is I think both of us sometimes get impatient with that process, because sometimes it can be so slow. And you get together for a night, and you just want to hold each other and have a good evening where you can read to each other, and then someone gets mad. And you're like, why does this have to happen? It's too slow. But, you know, that's part of the process, the part of evolution of a relationship. You gotta take it at whatever speed it's taking you. You can't force it to go any faster or slower. You know, it finds its speed on its own, naturally. So, yeah. The four magic words that she said to me, came to my house and said to me, would totally give me a heart attack, I think. Seriously, if she came to my door and said, will you marry me? I would drop dead right then. We had to bury me. She'd have to find someone else. But that's seriously, I think that's my dream. I could have anything that was, you know, I'm definitely always the more romantic person in a relationship, and she wasn't, I never got the feeling that she was that great of a romantic. She liked to go out to dinner, fancy restaurants, and that was, her, I think, where she got it from. But me, I love flowers, roses, poetry, surprises, presents, you know, anything like that. And this would be the one for me, if there was anything. And I hope if she's listening to this, she's not feeling pressured. It's not, this is not a, here, I want this, so you must do it. It's a, here, this is what I would like, and if that's something you would like to do, here's exactly how to do it. It's going to just mean the world to me, and absolutely blow me away, make me feel amazing and loved and everything. You know, it would be the best day of my year, easily. Just nonstop. And, you know, one of her letters, she had said to me, you know, getting back together is not going to fix anything. And the first day wasn't, like, well, to be honest, I felt kind of insulted. I thought, of course, why would you think that I think that? Do you really think that I'm just saying I care about you because I think that getting together is going to make my pain go away or other problems go away or our arguments go away? No, I absolutely don't think that. I think that was my first reaction. But then after a while, I started to think, especially over the last couple weeks, as I've become more and more socially isolated and having longer and longer periods without human touch, where I started to realize, wow, you know what? A relationship would fix one thing for me. It would give me the touch I need. And that has a substantial effect on a person's life. Absolutely substantial. I mean, when I don't get touch, I wake up in the morning, I can't move, I'm stiff, I hurt. I just want to lay in a corner. I have to really force myself to get up and shower and make something to eat. And all those wonderful things where, as you know, if I have someone around, and not just any someone, I want her. But if I had her around, I could get a hug, have a conversation, make breakfast together, sit down at the table. And, you know, it's a lot easier, and you get that touch every now and then. And I don't think after you've had it for a couple days, I think you just instinctively forget what it was like not to. It's kind of like when you're always eating and you have enough food, but once 3 years ago you starved for 2 or 3 days, and you can have this vague memory of what that was like, but you really can't imbibe it anymore. It's so far back there because this next need on the hierarchy of needs is met. I gotta get another of these out. And I'm falling asleep here. You might be able to tell from me talking quietly. I do, however, want to be able to go inside and write a blog before I go to bed. I was getting here, too. I was thinking of doing another monkey blog. But we'll see. That takes a bit longer. 10 minutes to record, at least 10 minutes to upload. So that's 20 minutes. And time to plan what it's going to be like is 5 to 10 minutes. I don't put a lot of thought into them, honestly. I just kind of let them flow and have some basic ideas of what I want to do and some things I don't expect to happen. And those are always good. So we'll see. I definitely don't like doing all blog types at the same time. Often. Like, every now and then I want to do a video, an audio, and a journal. And I think that's wonderful and great. But I couldn't do it every night. It takes way too much time. And I need to find time to do some other things. I need to get programming again into my life while I'm home. Need to practice these instruments. I was doing some scales on the cello in there, but I need to... I think I have a music stand, so I need to find one that'll sit on my desk. So a basic desk stand, one that'll hopefully hold the pages. And you can begin using that. Then I can start, pull out my book and start practicing again, and I'm looking forward to that. My sound really right now, it's really bad, but I think, give me about a month and I'll be sounding like I know what I'm doing almost. Then I'll hit that same place I did before where I was playing all this easy stuff, and then I hit this chapter where it got a little bit tricky jumping back and forth on the strings, and I had to slow down because I'd go at the speed. Oh, I'm doing it, thunk. Ran into brick wall, gotta start over. That's why they call it practice. But I feel very blessed that I was in band and choirs growing up, because that's given me the skills to pick up a new instrument and learn it very quickly. The only downside is we didn't have a strings section at my high school. I mean, we didn't have the money for something like that, so I never got to play that kind of instrument. With the exception of an upright bass, I got to play once or twice while we were practicing, and that was just like an electric bass, but just huge and big, and you stand up with it, and strumming on that thing will cause your fingers to bleed if you don't have calluses on them already, so just a warning. So, this woman I love, as more time has passed and I've helped healed from a lot of the wounds in that relationship, as I found some more meditative time in my life, time to clear my head and focus, which I really needed because I had some bad down days where I realized if I don't really get my head on straight, those days will just happen more often. I get a bit nervous about it. Because I had one where I was literally 5 minutes from calling an ambulance to take me to the mental hospital and just put me in an observation room. I was ready to kill myself. That was a tough night. Just a lot of emotional things going on, a lot of stress, physical pain. And I just thought to myself, wow, I can't do this. I don't want to do this anymore. This is not a quality life, and it's never going to get better. You know, downing myself. I really couldn't think straight. And I don't remember what day it happened on. I've had many bad days. I had a bad day. Like, my daughter emailed me and said that her mom says she can't see me anymore because I'm depressed. And I'm just scratching my head thinking, what does me having been depressed have to do with anything? Because when I'm around her, I don't exhibit all the negative depressed feelings. I talk to her, we do things, we go out. Depressed people don't do that. So when she comes over, I'm able to step out of that mold. It's temporary. And if she asks how I'm feeling, I tell her honestly. But that's been a whole lot of drama and bullshit in my life, so after that happened, I was just like, okay, I can't have anything to do with you guys anymore. That energy there is so toxic, hateful, revengeful. And they wouldn't say that. They'd say they're loving, caring people, but I think most people, if they met them around for a while, they go, wow, this is pretty bad energy. Bad doo-doo. So anyway, I got sidetracked about traumas that I've experienced in the last couple months. Putting in a low place, but even in these low places I've been completely aware and completely certain of my love for Ina and what I want to build a life with her, and most importantly that I think it will work and bring us both joy. Again, it's not a false hope. It's me looking at our time together and something I saw. I think some things that we both did, not to point fingers, but I think she did a lot more than I did, but I think we both have a proclivity to do it, is to point out the negative things that are going on instead of the positive. And the thing was,
our failures and our fights near the end were spread out over weeks. They'd be intense, they'd be terrible, but they were spread out over weeks. Our successes were daily. And I had a conversation with her recently when I got the email from my daughter. I had no one to contact and talk about it. You know, Sophie's over in Ohio and it's probably midnight there. I'm not going to wake her up to talk about this. And don't know anybody else's phone number. My parents are in Australia. So I texted Ina, and my only intention was to just let her know what was going on. And I was upset, and I just said I needed to tell someone. And that was all I needed to do, and I wanted to respect her space. But she listened, and it was a great conversation. And there were some points we could have had a fight in there, but I think when you see that genuine willingness to want to help someone, when that's there, or your genuine ability as the person that's hurting not to lash out, but just express fully how you're feeling, I think that can be very productive. So I thought that was. It felt surreal though, because I hadn't heard her voice in months. I hear it in my head every day, but not for real every month. And I don't know what I said at the end of that phone call. I remember just thinking, I want to say I love you, I want you. And yeah, sometimes I feel like I need her. And, you know, you're having a bad day, you come back from a bad day at work, I think people are treating you with some prejudice, you were concerned about it, and you're concerned about your job, you're really upset and agitated, and it'd be nice to have someone just sit down, put their arm around you, and kiss you on the cheek, and say, it's going to be okay, we're together, everything's going to be fine, we'll work this out together, no matter what happens. And I think that's an amazing thing when people do that. That's a commitment worth making to another human being. This bond, this real bond that says, when you're down, I'm going to be here for you. And when you're up, I'm going to be here for you. So tonight, I spent several hours writing a letter to her. I felt that it expressed my feelings, my sincere adoration for her, my love. Just everything I could squeeze into one page about how much I cared about her, how I think both her and my love is extremely genuine and sincere. I mean, we've been people willing to sacrifice for each other, which is, you know, a lot of people don't, but we'll do it, and even in the worst situations, when it's tough on us, we'll do it for the other person. And I think that's just beautiful. I mean, you hope you don't have to do that most of the time in a relationship, but when it happens, I think it's just beautiful. Beautiful. So I wrote her a letter. I would read it here, but I don't have a copy on me right now. I folded that in four. Then I made her a little, there are these mini CDs, so I made a little mini CD with some of my voice introducing the CD, and I think five songs that I like and remind me of her. And if she's listening to this, the reason I picked the cello song on there by Yo-Yo Ma is that I want to learn to play that song. That's my goal. With the cello, is to be good enough to play that song, which is, I believe, from Mozart. Beautiful, beautiful song. But that's one of my goals in life, to be able to play that good. Now that I have a cello, I would like a day where, when I can play something good, where I play for her a lot. I would be really honored to be able to play for her. Maybe put her to bed at night. So what else do we owe you, man? So you got that. I put in $10 also. It's not a bribe. All that stuff was folded over and then put inside a card from the store. Had a fairy on the front. A beautiful, gorgeous fairy that reminds me in some ways of Ina. And on the inside was something, an apology first for one night when I was really upset a couple weeks ago. It was the worst night I've had this year, where I was about ready to commit myself. And we talked, and she was expressing frustration with me because she was going over her texts. And as you know, when you go over your text plan, they just start charging you inanimate amounts, like 10 cents, 25 cents for each message, no matter how short. So she is, not that I know of, makes not nearly as much money as I do, so she has to watch things like that. She had just said, I really can't talk anymore because my text messages, and you can imagine how hurt I was by that, and thinking I'm going to kill myself when someone's talking text message. You know, get your head on straight. Get a little perspective. You can pick up cans and make the money for the text messages, but if I go kill myself, you're not getting that back. But anyway, that's besides the point. I put $10 in there and I wrote, you know, I apologize for all those text messages that night. I was struggling. You know, please take this. And then I wrote a little letter in there that was to communicate to her that the main letter that was a page long that I wrote was coming from my heart and soul. It was not coming from fear. It was not coming from the fact that I'm alone. If that was fact, if that was true, I wouldn't have chosen to, quote-unquote, not be friends, which I'll get to in a minute, with her for so long. I want her in my life, I really do. But certain things just don't make it possible, for me. So what was I saying? So I had that, and I was describing that because I wanted her to understand that whether I'm happy or sad, whether I'm in a lot of pain or not, whether I'm at work or home or around a lot of people getting that social contact, I always want her. I always want her as my wife. I want to be connected to her. I want to have babies with her. I want to go to Italy with her and Australia with her. You know, I want to introduce people to her and say, hi, this is Ina, she's my wife, and just exude warmth. And just great honor and respect for this person that believed enough in you and in us to commit to something like that and go on that journey with you. And it is. It's a lifelong journey. That's the one I want to go on. So that's more or less what I wrote in there, because I wanted her to understand that I'm not writing these things because I'm needy and I'm not getting touch and I'm flipping out and I just need someone. I learned to get rid of that motivation a long time ago. It took a lot of practice, but I finally got to the point where I recognized it when it happened. And then I got to the point where I could control it, and then I got to the point where I could just get rid of it. So, I have those feelings every now and then, but generally when they come up, I don't communicate with anybody, because I may write a letter, but it never goes out. And that's really the reason why, because it doesn't do any good when you're in that state, trying to write a letter of that sort. So no. But, so you know, I basically made a case that I want to get the relationship back. I think that what we had built together was just too valuable and too rare to walk away from. even if some months have passed, I don't think that's a wise move. I think we have something that could turn into something absolutely gorgeous. It'd be the envy of all other married couples. And I see that potential in us. And it's just a matter of her and I finding out how to dance together more smoothly. Nobody's stepping on each other's feet. And we may probably need a counselor for that, and I'm fine. And I think it would be great having someone that's kind of a referee, someone with an alternate opinion or viewpoint in front of us, giving us advice, walking us through exercises, giving us things to do at home, helping us express frustrations that might cause the other person to become very reactive, but in an environment where we're saying we're not going to react. Everybody agrees. And the other thing that's good about that that I like is because when you have a third party and you both commit to giving them the reins, it's a lot harder to get in power trips. As I know, a lot of times I try to take control of conversations, especially when it seems like they're going in circles. I want to stop and say, hey, you know, I brought up this subject, can we just focus on that? And then, you know, the other person may get angry, like you're trying to control the conversation. Well, in a way I am. I'm trying to make it logical. You know, I brought something up, let's talk about that. And then you can bring something up. Not I bring something up, you bring something up, then I bring something up. And then we're both just bringing something up and no one's listening. Alright, third and final. Then I'm getting to bed. So, the card had that beautiful blue fairy on it. And I put some stuff in the letter about how she reminds me of this fairy that's been hanging on my wall for 2 years. And I never knew who that card was for. A lot of times I'll buy a lot of cards and I don't know who they're for, and then one day I get a psychic feeling this is for that person. It's the right card, right time, and it totally works. And I had a feeling very many times that this card was for her, but it always felt wrong every single time. And then finally, suddenly in the last week or two, I was looking at it going, shouldn't I be writing to Ina in this right now? And then what do I write? I miss you. Yada yada. And then I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to write this amazing as I can love letter that says, I want you, I believe in us, here's why. I think you're great, and I don't want to give you up, and here's why. And I'm very happy with the letter. I think it expresses my feelings without pushing things on other people or setting expectations up for other people. And that's another thing I've learned to do over the years. I don't push expectations on people. I know sometimes people have accused me of that. And she sometimes felt I was doing that. But, like for instance, if I said, I want this table saw at Sears for Father's Day, she may later take that as me pushing her to get that, because I was really happy and playing with it. Whereas to me, it's just an open door. I am saying something that I like, that I want, that will do good for me. And then if you say that, if you do that a lot, then when they give you a gift or a present, or they do something for you, or they touch you, they can do it in a way that works for you. That makes you feel good. That makes you feel loved. And I think that's the trick. So when other people tell me things, I try not to feel pushed. Unless their language is pushy, because I don't like that. And I've had instances where people like should have bought me this instead of that. And I don't like that too much. But I get through it. I wonder when I'm going to wake up noon. So, put this together. I blessed every single piece of paper and the CD in there with music and the envelope and the card. Blessed them with sage before they went on their way. I found that burning sage over a gift or something, a letter, has often been very good in having that letter be received in a responsive, helpful way, and people feel more blessed by that. I think it's absolutely great, so I do that a lot when I send something to someone. I use the sage. And then I got my car, or truck, I should say. Top down, wonderful temperature out. A little chilly, so I had my jacket and turned the heater on high. I just loved that drive. At first I was listening to talk radio, 1190KEX, but then I decided, you know, that's not what mood I want to be in right now. Right now I want to be in a happy mood. I mean, this letter to me is a very happy letter, and I hope she gets it and receives it in the same way as a very happy letter. Only the future can tell, of course, but that's my hope. But yeah, just a very warm letter, so changed the station and started listening to the 40 station, which is big band music. And God, I'd enjoy myself. I was patting on the steering wheel on the floor and singing to songs and singing as loud as I can, and the wind's blowing through my hair because the top's down, and just kind of scooting down the road at no particular speed. It was wonderful. And then I stopped at her apartment complex. I don't park in it anymore. I usually park across the street where I have some privacy in case she walked by or sister walked by and they might be uncomfortable, and I might be uncomfortable with that. At least I know I'd be uncomfortable. I walked up the sidewalk and walkway and then turned to climb the ladders up to her apartment, and I just thought to myself, God, I so miss this place. I hadn't missed it so bad till then. I just wanted to go inside and cook something or lay on the couch and watch a movie. In many ways, that place felt like my second home. I didn't realize till then how much I missed it. But anyway, tiptoeing up the stairs not to wake up anybody and have someone come to the door. Last thing I need is my blood pressure to go through the roof as I jump. And then I set the red letter there in front of her door. I hope in the morning she gets it, and I hope it brings her joy. And I hope she's able to make a leap of faith. But we'll see. And I have some fears about it, but I'm not going to talk about that tonight. I can talk about that another time. No reason to get wound up, and I want to maintain this hopeful energy, because I think it's the best to have. When you're hopeful, you can overcome anything. Disability, getting a car wreck, losing your legs, losing everything but your head, like Christopher Reeves. Losing your sanity, losing your ability to think straight. There's so many things that you could lose. But in all those conditions, you can have hope. And hope starts with the feeling hope. But hope, in my view, is also about the doing. So while you're doing something, while you're improving things, while you're making things better in your life, one step at a time, that is hope. Because hope is a noun that just sits there, it is useless. Has to be a verb. Has to be something that you do. And that's what this letter was for me, and you know, it's a pretty big letter. I put my heart out there. I really put my heart out there and said, I believe in us. I believe in something wonderful with us. I believe in you. I believe in our ability to heal each other. I believe that we'll need probably a psychiatrist or a counselor to help us do a lot of this. I believe we have things to work on, but again, the data shows me, for all the fights we've had 100 to 1,000 successes to every fight. And, you know, successes, I think her personality, my personality, are very strong and opinionated, so it's not uncommon for us to get in a conversation and start laying landmines all around the place and pop. So, part of it would be learning how to do that, or not lay the landmines, or not getting upset when the landmines go off. But we're both capable. I know we're both capable. I just think we need more time. And also, I just need to get to a better place physically, too. I think I know that that will help me physically and emotionally, and I need that. I need that more than anything right now. Yeah, I asked her to take a leap of faith, to put her hand in mine and trust. I want her to feel like she can build trust with me. And I'll just do what I can to share my hope with her. And I didn't realize it till tonight that it's in full bloom. I didn't think it would get there 3 months ago. It was the smallest and most crushed and damaged it had ever been in my life. I didn't think. I thought that, oh great, I'd go to work every day, and everything just became gray, because I didn't have hope. And this one hope, I was like, I don't know if I want to pull it out, because it has to do with me and Nina. She's made it pretty clear she doesn't want to be together again, and yeah, so, but without something I should say about hope. Hope doesn't follow directions. You can try to stuff it down, but it comes out. It fucking comes out, and it says, here's what it is, here's who I am, and here's why it was made for. In this case, it was made for our relationship. I have no denying it. The hope doesn't extend to anything else in my life. It's that relationship. And, I think that has a lot to do with my innate need for touch, my innate need for companionship on a regular basis. Whether I've got to drive into town or meet her at Max out here, but I need it. When I don't have it, immune system goes down, pain thresholds go up or down as well. It's not pretty. Not a pretty picture. So I send this letter to her with love, and I hope she takes it with love. I don't mean to elicit any answer from her. And if there's any hope, I said that wrong. If she feels she needs to respond by continuing saying we're not together anymore and I'm not interested, which is a possibility, I need to be ready for that. At the same time, I'm not going to quit loving her or wanting to be married to her and just, you know, it's there. And I have felt that way about someone before, and it lasted about 6-7 years. You know, they were married to someone else and moving around and doing their thing, and I still felt that way. And even sometimes when I'm talking to her, a little of that sneaks out, and I just feel like, wow, I love this person. I really love this person. And there's only two people I've ever felt like that about. My first, which is Sophie, and the new girl in my life, Ina. And with Ina, I definitely not felt this intense or confident. Intense in the fact of our emotion and our outbursts. Confident in terms of me looking at the situation and knowing that we have the skills to do it better. Or we have the skills to find the people that can help us do it better. I have no doubt of that. So I've been in a pretty good mood, very hopeful mood, and psychically I'm seeing that this is going to have a very positive impact. It almost scares me to say something like that, because then I get my hopes up and nothing happens, or I get another Dear John letter, and or worse, the worst is I'm sleeping with someone else already, which would crush me. I have had to go through that a lot with other people. So we'll see. In the morning at some point, she'll get it, she'll read it, maybe at work if she works tomorrow. Maybe she'll put it somewhere, read it at night. There's no hurry, of course. I just wanted to throw a bubble in the pond and get things I thought out and just say that I believe in us and I think we're worth another chance, and I'll set up this group therapy so we can do that, and I'll set some practices up, and then we can sit down and talk about some game plan rules we want so we don't do things that cause the other person to want to leave. I'm ready to do that, and though I can't say whether or not she's ready or wanting even to do that, I do hope that she wants to. Then it's just a matter of readiness, and maybe it'll take her a couple times seeing each other or whatnot for her to feel comfortable about that. And I can understand that, because I kind of feel the same way too. But yeah, anyway, I'm the ambience making me loopy here, about to fall over and asleep while I'm talking, so I'm not going to be publishing this tonight. Can't think straight. So I'm going to take it upstairs in a minute. Put it away. I wish I could remember more that I wanted to tell you. I could say, you know, with the music blaring, I had a very enjoyable time driving downtown Portland back. I got to her house and enjoyed being there. The smells, the look of everything. I was frustrated going up the stairs that I couldn't just open the door and go in. That would be my strongest desire, to just have things, just talk to each other and say, let's go back to where we were. That would be me going to the door, open it, go in, and jump in bed with her. Which would be absolutely the nicest thing. Spooning with someone right now sounds like about the nicest thing in the world. Maybe a back rub first, but yeah, being able to spoon with another human being you're close to and you love, that would be the bomb. Yeah. So we'll see. Tomorrow, the next day or the next day, I'll get a response, phone call, text message, email, maybe another letter in the mail. We'll see. I don't know what the final product will be. I know what I hope it'll be, which is I'm scared, but I want to put that aside, and I want to make choices that are hopeful. And I love you. I think we are worth another try. Let's talk about how we're going to do that and make it work better for both of us. Yeah, I can see us doing that. I think it would be great to do that. right. Oh, well. If you want to get upstairs, I'll have some blood rush and I'll be able to. Alright, I'm going to put these wonderful tobacco bars over here. I do have to do one thing. There's a candy bar upstairs. I want to eat it. Yeah, when the Ambien kicks in this bar, I get very dizzy. Well, a little dizzy. What I was trying to get to is my eyes cross like I'm drunk. And I can't uncross them. It's really weird when I'm using the computer, because the screen looks three-dimensional to me. It's no longer a two-dimensional screen. It's a three-dimensional screen. And that's when I realize, okay, I don't think I bought the new generation three-dimensional screens. I think I'm just at the point where I need to get my bod in bed, get a nice solid sleep for the night. Hi, monkey. And that's what I will do tonight. Nice solid sleep. 3-day weekend. I have no clue what I'm going to do. When I heard about it coming up, you know, times in my life like this where I've been alone, it's like, what do you do? You can walk down to the waterfront and watch some fireworks by yourself. I mean, you're surrounded by other people, but it's not quite the same. Anyway, I'm going to end this journal now. Alright, end it up again. It is Friday, July 3rd, 2009, at 3:25 a.m. in the morning. I will probably be getting in bed at 4, which means 4 plus 8 is 12. I'll be waking up at 12. Noon. So, for those of you who have been listening to this stuff and coming to the temple, thank you. I've tried to make it more interactive, and I'm trying to find some tools to make it very interactive. I've really been enjoying that, and I would like to make it a lot more interactive and hook it into Facebook and some other stuff like that. And I'm really enjoying some stuff on Facebook, like the Facebook wall, or being able to find people that I know and asking them questions or whatnot. It's been very useful. Especially for people I don't see day to day or live in Portland. Alright, anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. You're probably sleeping right now, and the love of my life is probably sleeping beautifully in bed right now, too. So, to everyone out there, I wish you sweet dreams as you're dreaming right now. For those of you who had the day off, I hope you enjoy it and get out with your family and friends. For those of you traveling to go somewhere for the 4th of July, please drive safe. Let's not have any casualties this weekend, okay? Especially not me. Yeah, let's make it safe and let's make it fun. I think that's all I gotta say for tonight, so, alright, take care, and as I said, sweet dreams, Aslan out.